As I said, the text for the sermon this morning is Psalm 73, verse 24. Psalm 73, verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, if someone were to ask you the question, what took place in this past year, 2014, how would you answer that question? There's all sorts of different ways that we could approach the answering of that type of question. We could look at that question from the point of view of what took place on a national or global level, identifying some of the major events that took place in this past year, pointing, for example, to the Ebola outbreak in West Africa and how that had reverberating effects in many other places in the world, pointing to the now two downed Asian airline planes, one of which has still not been found, pointing to the conflict for power in Eastern Europe between Russia and Ukraine, pointing, for example, to the rise of ISIS in the Middle East and the turmoil that that is causing in that part of the world. We could answer that question, what took place in this past year, on a different level by looking, for example, at the ecclesiastical scene, our own churches, or our own church, or our life together as churches. You could point to, for example, the births and the baptisms that you had as a congregation in this past year, the confessions of faith, the weddings that were in the Lord, those who may have left or those who may have joined your congregation. We can look at our churches on a denominational level, pointing to the fact that God has given our churches another man for the ministry, pointing to the relative peace that God has given to us as a denomination. Or you could answer that question, what took place in this past year, on a personal level, looking at the major and the minor events of your lives in this past year, pointing to the births or the changes of jobs or very simply the everyday life of a mother and children in the home. All of those answers are good answers to the question, what took place in this past year, 2014? And all of those types of things would be a good answer to the question of what will take place in 2015. All of those types of things on a national, global, ecclesiastical, and personal level. However, none of those answers really get at the heart of what we can say took place in this past year, and what will take place in 2015. The most precise, all-encompassing answer to that question is this: God's counsel was executed in 2014. And as I look forward to 2015, what will take place is this: God's counsel will come forth. All of those things that I mentioned a moment ago on a national and ecclesiastical and personal level are simply small slivers of this grand overarching thing that has taken place and will take place in the coming year, and that is the counsel of God. And that's the truth that we have the opportunity to meditate upon this morning as we look back at 2014, and now specifically this morning, look forward to 2015. That's an amazing thing that we are able to do as Reformed Christians who have been revealed to us the truth of God's Word, and by faith we believe that Word. It's an amazing thing that we can look forward in 2015 and say with absolute confidence, I know what is going to take place in this year. I don't know all of the specific details, but I can say with confidence, in a certain sense, I know what will take place. God's plan for my life will be executed. And what we see this morning from Psalm 73, verse 24, is that that plan is a perfect plan. It's a wise plan according to God, because that plan is exactly that which guides us. And not only guides us, but as God teaches us in this passage, it guides us afterward to glory. That's what we do this morning, the first day of 2015. We'll look back a little bit and see how this truth influences the way that we think about this past year. But especially this, we look forward and we go forward with the confidence in this year that God's plan will take place in my life and everything that I experience, and that's the focus of Psalm 73. My personal circumstances, all of it, very simply, is one step closer, day by day, to the day when God will take me home to glory. Let's look at this passage using very simply as our theme this morning, God's guiding counsel. God's guiding counsel. If we're going to understand Psalm 73, verse 24, we need to understand the context in which we find this verse. Psalm 73 was a psalm written by Asaph, and we need to know what is the main theme and the main purpose of this psalm and how this particular verse, verse 24, fits into that overarching theme and purpose of the psalm. In Psalm 73, we have revealed to us what the psalmist Asaph was struggling with. He was struggling with understanding why, when he looked at those who were unbelieving in the world, they were prosperous. Prosperous as it relates to the earthly circumstances that they experienced. Asaph didn't understand that, because when he looked at the prosperity of the wicked, he correlated with that the love of God and the favor of God. That was a certain work of God for them and the evidence of the love of God for them. And over against that, what Asaph didn't understand was how, when he looked at believers, himself as well, and the troubling circumstances that they experienced, how that fit into the plan of God and the purpose of God for those believers. In other words, Asaph struggled to understand, as the very beginning of Psalm 73 indicates, the goodness of God to Israel. He did not get that truth. Truly, God is good to Israel. And he didn't understand that when he saw the prosperity of the wicked and the afflictions of the righteous. And so we read about that struggle that Asaph had, how he was sinfully envious of those unrighteous that he saw around him. But then we go further in the psalm, and we read about how God led him to understand these truths. Especially when Asaph went into the house of God, it was revealed to him how these things really work out. And what Asaph was led to understand is that all of that prosperity that the wicked experienced is not the evidence of God's love for them. But in fact, all of that prosperity is used by God to lead them to their eternal destruction and death. And likewise, this is what he understood, that all of the struggles and all of the afflictions that the people of God experience are certainly not the evidence of the disfavor and judgment of God, but just the opposite. In fact, the evidence of the love and the goodness of God to Israel. And what our passage does is serve, in a certain sense, as a comforting culmination to this truth, that Asaph could confess and you and I with Asaph this morning, that all of the circumstances that we experience as the people of God are according to His counsel. And all of them, therefore, serve this perfect purpose, to lead us to glory. On a doctrinal level, Psalm 73 undermines entirely the teaching of common grace. There is no such thing as a love or a favor, especially as it's evidenced in the things that they experience from God to the unbelieving. God's love, as the very first verse of this passage indicates, is particular. God is good. God is gracious. God has His favor upon only Israel, only the church. What an appropriate passage, therefore, for us to look at as we reflect on the year that was 2014, and now this morning anticipate the year to come, 2015. We're able to say, in light of what we experienced in this past year, all of it was according to God's plan. And as we look forward to 2015, with confidence, we can say this: all of it will be according to God's plan, and it is all guiding me to glory. First thing that we need to really get into as it relates to this verse specifically is the counsel of God. What is God's counsel as it is referred to in Psalm 73, verse 24? God's counsel in this passage is His eternal plan and decree with respect to absolutely everything that takes place in time and in history. In eternity, before God created everything that we see, before you and I were brought forth into this world, God established a plan. And it's that plan that then is executed actually in time and in history. This passage talks about that counsel guiding us. And there are other things that God uses to guide us. We can often speak of His counsel in another sense, and that is the will of His decree, not His decree, the will of His command. And that's not what this passage is talking about. There are other words that the psalmist could have used to refer to what God does in guiding us, for example, by His law, by His word, by His testimony, by His precepts. All of those words that we find, for example, in Psalm 119. That's a truth that is very real to us as the people of God. When we look to 2015, God will guide us by His word. It's going to be our light to shine the path that we walk on. But that's not the specific idea of counsel in this passage. This passage is referring to that decree of God with respect to everything that takes place. It's the counsel of God as it's identified, for example, in Isaiah 46, verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." But in light of this particular chapter, we need to zero in a little bit more focused on a specific aspect of that counsel of God. What's highlighted in this chapter is that plan of God, that decree of God, as it relates to your earthly circumstances. That's what Psalm 73 is all about. Asaph looked at the unbelieving and he saw their earthly circumstances, their earthly prosperity. He looked at the righteous and he saw their afflictions. And so when we read about the counsel of God in this passage, it's especially focused on those realities that take place in our lives. Yes, we can apply it to those things that I mentioned right at the beginning of the service, all of the events of this world. But this morning we need to see especially this counsel of God as it relates to your earthly circumstances. All of that is according to the plan of God. And the particular emphasis is on those burdens, those struggles, those afflictions that you and I have to experience as the children of God. You can look back to 2014, and you can say, all of those types of things that I experienced were the carrying out of this plan of God. Those financial struggles that I had to endure in 2014 were according to the plan of God. That difficult stretch that my business or the one that I work for had to go through was according to the plan of God. That chronic pain that you had to deal with seemingly every single day in this past year was according to this counsel of God. Those surgeries that you had to face were according to the counsel of God. Everything that you struggled with were according to the counsel of God. And this morning, as we anticipate 2015, we say the exact same thing. Everything that we will experience in this coming year will be the carrying out of this very counsel of God referred to in this passage. Those difficult financial situations you find yourself in this coming year, the surgeries that you will face, the pain that you will endure, and all of the other afflictions that we as the people of God face are all according to the plan of God. But that's not the text in and of itself. The text is that this counsel of God that we just described for a few minutes is that which guides us as the children of God. You see, it's not just the truth that everything that takes place in our lives is according to the sovereign plan of God that gives us comfort and encouragement in this life. In a certain sense, it does. Just to know, as we sit here this morning, that everything in my life is according to the plan of God, in a certain sense, does give us comfort because we know who our God is. He's the loving, faithful, covenant God. But what especially, beloved, gives us comfort when we consider this counsel in plan of God and this sovereignty of God over everything in our lives is this truth, that God uses His plan in order to bring us to a certain end. Everything that took place in 2014, everything that will take place in 2015 are not just random events under the control and power of God, a haphazard event here and there in our life. What brings us comfort this morning, looking forward to 2015, is to know that all of those things serve a particular purpose. And that's the idea of this part of the text, that all of it is guiding us, bringing us to a certain destination. When you study the counsel of God in Scripture, so often these two things come together. The idea of God's plan and decree, but then right alongside of that, the end or the purpose of that decree. And that's what we have in this passage. God's counsel guides. The idea of a guide is always that which brings us to a destination. If you go hiking in the mountains that you are unfamiliar with, you need a guide. Either that guide will come in the form of a map, or that guide will come in the form of a person. But what's the purpose of that guide? The purpose of that guide is to get you from point A to point B to point C to point D and eventually get you to be able to get back home. A guide always gets us to our destination. God's counsel, beloved, is that guide. God's counsel is, as it were, the hand of God that clasps your hand of God, or your hand, and in this past year, 2014, took you from point A to point B to point C to point D. And this counsel of God is the hand of God that grabs your hand and will carry you through from point to point in this year to come. And all of it will serve the purpose of bringing you one step closer to what this text talks about, glory. The glory of the passage, of course, is our life with God in heaven. It's the time when so many things will be removed from us. All of these struggles that we've been talking about for a little bit this morning will forever be gone. The tears will no longer flow. The pain will no longer be experienced. The confusion will no longer be there. Not only that, what will be gone forever is our sin that clings to us. That old man that is still there that we know about oh so well will finally, when we are brought to this glory, be stripped away. And we will be protected from so many things when we are brought to that glory. No longer will the devil have access to us. No longer will he be able to influence and tempt us. No longer will we be surrounded with what is a dreadfully wicked world. But that's not glory. Glory is not just what will be removed from us. Glory is what will be there. And not just what will be there, but who will be there. The glory of the passage is the fact that one day we will see our Savior face to face. And we will enjoy our Savior like we have never enjoyed Him before. And we will dwell with Him and with all of God's people in heaven and the new heaven and the new earth. That's the glory of Psalm 73, verse 24. And now we put this together and we see that all of the things that we have experienced in this past year and will experience are bringing us one step closer to when God will receive us to that glory. Obviously, because we're sitting here this morning, we have not received the full culmination of this passage. We're still in the middle stage of God's counsel guiding us. But when we look back at 2014, we can not just apply this to ourselves, but we can apply this to our loved ones. And we can't help but see that in a morning like this, as I'm sure some of you here are relatives to Mr. Camps, who passed away just a few days ago. But what an amazing thought to think about in light of the death of our loved ones in this past year. To reflect upon their lives in light of a passage like this, and to say with respect to everything that happened in their life, all of it was leading to that very difficult end. And admittedly, it's difficult. But all of it was leading to that afterword of this passage, when they will be received to glory. And the text is a little bit stronger than received. It's not that God is in heaven and passively He receives to Himself those that are eventually brought to glory, but the idea of the passage is that God takes them. All of that counsel is guiding them. And when it comes to that very end, the loving hands of God, as it were, swoop down and grab the one that has been brought to the end, and He brings him or her to Himself in glory. But now, as we look forward to 2015, look forward to this year in light of this passage. We don't know if the full culmination of this passage will be for us in the calendar year 2015. It may. For any of us sitting here this morning, 2015 may be the year when God says it's time to come home to glory. Especially for those of us who are younger, we don't think about that very often. We think sometimes that we're invincible. Maybe not invincible, but we don't think about the fact that what we see around us could happen to me. I'm not going to get that diagnosis from the doctor that I have cancer. I'm not going to be the one who gets in an accident that's life-threatening. I'm not going to be the one who, when I have to face surgery, the surgery is not going to go well, and in fact, it's going to lead to my end. We don't think about that sometimes as we should, but we should. And at the beginning of a new year, it gives us opportunity to reflect upon these things. That in this year to come, this may be us. That the counsel of God says for me in 2015, it's the end. And now afterward, I'm received to glory. A little bit straying from the passage, but nevertheless, a good cause for us to reflect upon is to ask the question, am I living daily in the conscious reality of that truth? Am I living before the face of God as I am called to? Do I go forward, as the end of the passage, trusting in this God of which Psalm 73 speaks, knowing therefore with confidence that if God says in 2015, the end is for me, that the afterword for me will be glory. Reflect upon that, beloved. Be humbled by that in this coming year. But go forward with confidence. And that's the point of this passage. Go forward with confidence that if this is the year for me in 2015, what a glorious end that we have. That God will receive us to glory. But that's not even the extent of this passage. There's one more thing that we need to see as it relates to this counsel and this guidance. What we need to see this morning is that God uses as a necessary thing in our life the difficult circumstances that we experience to actually bring us to that glory. They're necessary for us one day to receive the glory that we will have. To understand this, you have to look at the opposite in Psalm 73. That's what Asaph didn't understand, and that he was later led to understand. He saw the prosperity of the wicked. But what Asaph needed to understand was that that prosperity was what God actually used to lead them down into destruction, to harden them against God. That's verse 18. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. That's for the unbelieving. But now what is it for the righteous? It's this. God uses the very struggles that we endure to lead us to glory. The prosperity brings them down into destruction. The struggles and the burdens and the afflictions are what God uses to bring us home to glory. And we understand that, do we not? We understand every time we face one of those struggles that God uses it to bring me closer to my Savior, Jesus Christ. When I'm struggling financially in 2015, it leads me to make that prayer even more fervently. Just, Father, give me this day my daily bread. And it leads us all the more to cling by faith to Jesus Christ and know that what matters in this life is not how much stuff I have. What matters is that I have Jesus and I have the hope of heaven. In 2015, when you struggle physically and you have pain, It leads you to clasp even stronger to Jesus Christ and know that my Savior endured pain. Pain like no one else when He was on that cross hanging there for our sins. When I have to face that surgery in 2015, it leads me to contemplate even more the great physician, not the man with the white coat with the initials behind his name. It leads me to cling by faith to the great physician, Jesus Christ. And you can go right down the line and go forward in confidence in 2015 that all of those struggles God will use to bring me closer to my Savior, Jesus Christ, preparing me all the more for when afterward He will take me to glory. Sometimes it's best to let the Word of God explain this truth. And there are a couple of passages that we know so well, but that beautifully explain the very point that I'm making. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why? You have to ask the question, why? Why will God do this for us in 2015? Why has God done this for us in 2014? Why has God in eternity said, this is going to be the plan for my people, and it's going to be a perfect plan, all of which is for their good, leading them to salvation? Why? Not because of us. Not because we deserve it. We know that so very well. We know who we are as sinners. We know that because of that sin, what we deserve is the destruction and the death of which Psalm 73 also speaks. Not because of us. Beloved, the answer to the question why goes to the very beginning of the passage. Truly, God is good to Israel. That's the why. Because we have a sovereign, loving God who said that He is going to be good to Israel. Israel there being the church, being you and me. By the grace of God, we are members of that church. That's the why, because we have a gracious, loving God and Father who is good to His church. But that's not the extent of it. What we need to understand is that the only reason God is good to us, first and foremost, is because it's His good pleasure. But He's good to us in Jesus Christ. We need to go back to one of the first things we talked about, and that is the counsel of God. We talked about that plan of God as it relates to everything in our lives, but we need to back up and see that there was someone and something that was first in that counsel, which governs everything that we talked about. The what was God's glory, and the who was Jesus Christ. Beloved, in eternity, God said, this is my plan for all things, the glorifying of my name, and this is who I am going to use to do that better than anything else, and that's Jesus Christ. That was first in God's counsel, this plan that we've talked about. It was Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ, especially in the way of His death on the cross, that would bring glory to God's name. And then after that, God said this, I'm going to choose a people in that Christ. And in Christ, I'm going to set my love upon them. And through Christ and His cross, I'm going to save them. And therefore, as I plan their life, as I determine the counsel for all of those people in Jesus Christ, it's not going to be for their judgment. It's going to be for their good. All of it is going to be that which guides closer and closer to the day when they will see that Jesus Christ in heaven. You ask the question, why? It's not because of us. It's only because of Christ. And so, beloved, go forward in 2015 with this confidence. Go forward with the confidence that all of the things that you will experience are according to this plan of God. Now, does that make us pacifists? No. We don't sit back and say things will just take place. No, we strive to live to the glory of God's name. But in doing that, we trust all of it is the plan of God, and all of it is one step closer to when God will receive us to glory. And because, beloved, it's only in Christ, be determined this morning for the year to come, 2015, to praise Him, to honor Him, and to glorify Him in everything you do. May God so give us the grace to live to the glory of His name and with the encouragement of this great passage in 2015. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. What a beautiful word it is. And what a beautiful word it is for us to meditate upon as we anticipate this year to come. Comfort us as only Thou art able to do by the power of Thy word. Dismiss us now with Thy blessing. For Jesus' sake alone do we pray. Amen.